So hello, Thomas.
Hi.
And thank you for talking to us today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Could you just tell us about when you decided to move to Sweden?
It's quite difficult to pinpoint the exact time I decided to move to Sweden. It was quite a long process. I actually married my Swedish wife in 2014, and at that point I was living in Brussels in Belgium.
Okay.
And moving to Sweden was always a long-term goal. But just never, the timing never seemed to work, and difficulties finding work in Sweden, and it kind of always being a little bit on the back burner.
Mm.
And then 2016 rolled around, and kind of all the stars aligned, shall we say. I was working in the European Parliament with a British Member of Parliament during the Brexit vote. And around the time that Britain decided it was going to leave the EU, I also applied and was accepted for a job here in Stockholm. Mm. And to add to all of the situation, we also discovered that we were expecting our first child to be born. So the decision to move to Sweden was really at that point in the summer of 2016. And we said, okay, Sweden feels like a very place to bring up a child. There's an offer of employment, and actually, as a British person living outside of the UK in the EU, administratively things are getting a little bit more complicated. So I was looking for my home in the EU, and also long term looking towards citizenship of another EU country to make it easy to stay and live and work and move around freely. So it was in the late summer, early autumn of 2016 that I eventually moved to Stockholm.
So you actually had a few years when you kind of knew you were moving to Sweden, but you didn't end up actually doing it until a few years later.
No, exactly. And also during that period, there was obviously a lot of trips to visit family in Sweden. Here in Stockholm, but then also spending every Easter for quite a few years before I moved to Sweden. We spent every Easter in the south of Sweden in Skåne. There was even one period when I lived in Brussels that I had too much vacation to take 1 year. So I decided to take a month, and I came to Stockholm in the middle of the winter, and I took my very first Swedish class here in Stockholm.
Wow.
And it was kind of, I think, that month living in Sweden. You know, I'd been on long weekends and short vacations here to see my wife's family, but really having that 1 month of, you know, seeing the snow, commuting into the city to learn, just getting more of a sense of what it's felt like to live in Sweden was really when, you know, the switch flipped in my head and said, okay, this is the place that I want to live.
So you got that real life, everyday feeling.
Yeah, exactly. So I really felt that when I moved to Stockholm in 2016, by that point, I'd seen both the fairy tale, you know, Skansen picture of Sweden, but also the everyday life of what it's like to trudge through the snow and the dark hours of the morning and, you know, cram yourself in on the commuter train with all the other commuters and figure out how it is, how much English you can speak and how much Swedish you need to learn to get through and get more of a sense of what it was like to live here. So, and I was very happy with that picture.
That was smart to try one of the worst months ever to see if you still liked it. That's a smart strategy.
Well, I think it's that point I really realized how, and this is really one thing that I love about living in Sweden, how defined the seasons are here.
Mm.
So I grew up in the middle of the UK, and we basically say the only time you know it's summer is when the rain gets warmer. Whereas in Sweden, you really have cold, snowy winters, and then suddenly you're thrust into spring with everything turning green overnight, and these kind of long, light summers, and a beautiful orange autumn, and then back into winter. So it feels much more defined, and you kind of know your place in the year a lot more here than where I come from.
Yeah, very strong contrast between summer and winter here. What would you say was different about moving to Sweden compared to what you expected? Because you must have had some expectations.
How clear and straightforward and organized the process was in Sweden, and how much information is actually available in other languages. So from an administrative perspective, it was quite clear to me what was expected of me and what was needed. And that's, you know, the key to unlock everything is the personal number. There was much more support, I would say, in finding your way in understanding what it is to live and work in Sweden. You know, I had my Swedish wife as a bit of a guide to understand the Swedish authorities. But one thing I've come to realize quite quickly is that sometimes some interesting people to speak to when you're thinking about moving to Sweden is other people that have moved to Sweden, because, you know, quite often Swedes that you speak to have never gone through this experience themselves.
You're describing a process that was a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you the contrast, when I moved to Belgium, my experience with registering at the commune was spending many, many hours in a physical line at the local commune, often not getting to speak to a person. And if I did, never, ever getting to speak to a person in English, which was great to my terrible French at the time. Whereas in Sweden, the experience of, you know, showing up at, in my case, the taxation office, because I was coming here as an EU citizen, registering a form and having an ID number within a relatively short period, and then using that number to unlock things, that was quite comforting, because there's a lot of things to think about when you move to a country, and making the administration as simple as possible so you can focus on all the other things that you have to do at the time is a big game changer for me.
If you keep looking back, do you wish there was something you would have known before that could have prepared yourself even better?
I really think I should have learned more Swedish before I came to Sweden. I think my experience of coming to Sweden as a tourist and going to museums and going to, you know, cafes and driving around Sweden was that everybody speaks English. You know, I had very limited Swedish at that time, and, you know, I could speak English to everybody. And I think it gave me a little bit of a false impression of how important it is to learn Swedish when you move to Sweden, because Swedes are very international and generally speak English quite well, and there are a lot of everyday things you can do, you know, either in public or with the administration in English. But the kind of level below that, which I came to realize quite quickly in terms of making friends with Swedish people or joining associations and trying to integrate further or in a different way, that really required a different level of Swedish than what I had. I probably should have done more of it before I moved here.
Like used a little of that preparation time to learn the language as well.
And I think kind of this point about associations and meeting people is something that I keep coming back to, because I've moved from Belgium, where it's very much a kind of continental culture of going for drinks after work or, you know, restaurants in the evening and meeting friends and meeting Swedes. Swedish social life tends to be organized in quite a different way. And I think organized is the word to use, I think. It really feels that for any type of sport or interest or any small hobby, that there is an association for that. And it has a board, and it has an annual meeting, and it has a group of people collated around it. And I think the sooner you can categorize your interests or realize what your interests are and find associations for that, the easier it is to make friends and with Swedes or people living in Sweden, and kind of cut through that integration level that I was missing a bit when I first moved here.
That's a very interesting point, because maybe once you're in these circles or associations, it's fine to communicate with a lot of Swedes in English, but to find those circles and to apply to different organizations and so on, you do need quite a lot of Swedish just to kind of do your research and understand what's out there.
Absolutely. I have an old British Mini Cooper that I love and that I brought with me to Sweden. I looked at those other people that owned Mini Coopers here in Stockholm, and of course there was not only a Mini Club in Sweden, but in fact the oldest Mini Club in the world, because the Swedes love to organize. Yeah, the Swedes love to organize so much that they organized a club in Sweden before one even existed in England. So exactly, that was an entry point. It took a little bit of Swedish to find this club, but you know, when I go to meet them, we talk about English cards, and sometimes we talk in English and sometimes we talk in Swedish, and when you have a shared interest, people are much more accommodating and friendly than you think they might be.
It's starting to sound like a piece of advice from you: to socialize, try to find like a group or a club or something like this, a common interest. That's easier than just randomly meeting people at work or pubs.
It could be the case that people at work tip you off about associations. But this is one of the good pieces of advice, actually, that I was given by a Austrian friend of mine who also moves from Brussels to Sweden. And he told me he'd never thought of himself as a singer, but he was convinced one evening to go and sing with a choir, his local choir. Sweden has many, many choirs.
Yes, we love choirs.
Yeah. He said that was one of the best integration processes that he could ever think of, because not only was he meeting people, but they were quite literally, you know, singing in harmony. They were doing something together, but and it didn't matter what, you know, language they were singing in or, you know, where they came from. And he found that quite a powerful process. And of course then they go for food afterwards, or they, you know, meet with children in the park at the weekend, and it can be an avenue to other things. But he gave me that piece of advice, and that's when I started to look out for organized interests of my own.
And definitely in Sweden we have a very long and strong tradition of forming these organizations and associations and clubs and so on. So there's tons of them out there, and it's fairly easy to start one on your own as well. There's even like some funding that you can get and so on. Would you say that that's a strategy that you can use in any country, or is it like a little specific to the Swedish context?
Probably one of the biggest cultural differences in this respect I would put down to the fact that British people love to talk to anybody. I remember my Swedish wife taking a bus in the north of England once, and somebody sat down to her next on the bus and started talking to her.
Yeah.
And as a Stockholmer, this was a big cultural shock for her. And I think this ability in the UK just to be able to start up a conversation with anybody means that sometimes it's easier to create friendships or have social interactions kind of outside of organized life. But I also realize that I'm making this comparison at a time where I made the decision to move further out of the city. It's a time where, you know, I've had a child, and probably I'm not having those, you know, nights in the pub in the way that I might have been in the UK or Belgium. But for me, certainly kind of organized associations has been a good path, except with one caveat. Obviously, every association in Sweden has a general meeting or an annual meeting. And I found one organization I joined that the first time I went to the organization was the annual general meeting. And then suddenly I saw or heard a lot of Swedish that I didn't understand, a lot of very kind of formal Swedish that only exists for the purpose of this annual general meeting. And that could be a bit off-putting.
I would add to that point that this is Swedish that a lot of Swedes would never understand either. If anyone out there ever experiences this, just take comfort in knowing that most Swedes would feel the same way. What would you say is your favorite thing about Sweden?
I think one thing I really appreciate about Sweden is this connection to nature. To want to be in the woods or to swim in the lakes and have some peace and freedom, but also kind of a more basic type of living wherever possible. There's a lot of space and a lot of woodland in this country. And now I'm living in the north of Stockholm, and even here in the Stockholm county, I can go 10 minutes in one direction and be in the middle of the forest, and 10 minutes in another direction and be in a lake. This kind of fascination affinity to be close to nature is something that surprised me and I really, really love. And this concept of Swedish summer houses, because, you know, in the UK, if somebody would be to have a house in the country, you would presume that they would have to be very, very, very rich.
Yeah.
Because land is extremely expensive. But in Sweden, it's not so uncommon that people have a house or know someone that has a house or they rent a house over the summer. And I like that.
So nature and the connection to nature and also that it's available.
And I think also kind of the sports and recreation possibilities that come with that. I think about skiing, for instance. Last year, I tried cross-country skiing for the very first time.
Oh.
I was able to go to a Fleetidsbanken, a place that would loan me for free a set of skis and boots and sticks and everything I needed. Mm. And then I went with some friends and found a trail in the woods. And for me, this skiing is always seen as a sport as that is very inaccessible and expensive. But here I was with the equipment that I had borrowed for free in the middle of the Swedish nature, trying it out for free for the first time. And I think there's kind of a lot of instances where there's kind of sports and recreation linked to nature is a lot more accessible and affordable.
Have you made any mistakes in Sweden that you would like to tell us about?
When I first moved here, I kind of had this support network in place, which was fantastic to have.
Mm.
But looking on it, comparing with the time that I moved to Belgium, when I moved there with no support network and, in fact, no job, it thrust me into having to meet new friends, new contacts much more quickly. I'm extremely grateful for having the help and support and advice around me when I moved to Sweden, but that perhaps it made me a little bit lazy. I probably should have used those initial months a bit more to get out there and meet some more people and kind of experience some more alternative perspectives on Sweden.
And in some regard, it might even help people if you come here and you don't really have a network. I mean, some things will be more difficult, of course, and maybe take more time. But on the other hand, you really get motivated to go out there, meet people and experience things from your own perspective.
Absolutely. I definitely reflected that.
What you're describing is using a skill, right? A skill to experience a new society on your own. Do you think that's an important skill to have in Sweden as a newcomer in Sweden?
I think there's a lot of information out there. And there's a lot of possibilities when you move to Sweden. But of course, you have to have that skill to be able to dig around and research a little bit to see what's out there for you, whether it's social, cultural things that we've been discussing about or, you know, looking for work or Swedish classes. The information exists, but of course, it's not going to be right in front of you when you first move to the country. And I think a lot of that information is online as well that you can research before the move. After I'd lived in the country 2 years, I realized that I was just 1 year away from being able to put in my citizenship application because becoming a Swedish citizen was something that was quite important for me to make it easier to live and work here. But I think 2 years in, it also became something quite culturally important to me because I'd spent so much time here. I wanted to become a Swedish citizenship. I asked my wife over the dinner table one evening, if I'm to become a Swedish citizen, is there a deeper cultural level that I need to understand? You know, are there cultural traits I should think about, or are there cult classics that films that I should watch that, you know, every Swede knows how to quote, or places that a lot of Swedes have visited on the childhood school trips? I don't know. So we started to put together what I called my becoming Swedish bucket list, which was just a few small ideas here and there. And eventually I put this list on Twitter and it grew and grew and grew until the point where I then decided that I would try to do everything on this list. Not only try to do everything on the list, but try to do it before I put my citizenship application in and trying to do everything on the list with a different Swedish person each time. What was so fascinating about the kind of Twitter conversations that I was having around this list was everybody had a different perception of what it meant to become Swedish. I could meet five people that lived in the same building and they would have five different opinions. And then suddenly you would speak to somebody on the other side of the country and they would have totally different opinions. Mm. So that became my Becoming Swedish journey, to understand from as many different perspectives as possible what it means to become a Swedish citizenship. I decided quite early on that I wanted to document the process. So for almost every item I checked off the Becoming Swedish bucket list, I made a video. So it started off as a video series, and then it became a book, and it is available in English and Swedish. In English, it's called Fear and Falukorv, On the Road to Becoming Swedish.
You have to explain Falukorv.
So Falukorv is a red sausage that comes from the town of Falun in Dalarna. In the book Fear and Falukorv, I decided to map how much each item on the bucket list took me outside of my comfort zone.
Oh, wow.
And Falukorv was the item that took me furthest out of my comfort zone. And this simply because Falukorv is a sausage and I don't eat meat. Mm. And just to make things more uncomfortable, I ate Falukorv live on the radio in Dalarna.
Oh, wow.
Speaking Swedish to a live audience on the radio. But spoiler alert for the book, at the last minute, I chickened out and ate a very tasty vegan alternative.
Wow, that's so interesting. So it's like a scale of this feeling of discomfort as a newcomer in a new city.
We talked about it earlier. One of the things on the list, Becoming Swedish bucket list, to help me become more Swedish, was to learn how to complain about the weather. and as a British person growing up with a lot of rain, you know, I was naturally already quite well trained about complaining about the weather. One of the things on my list was to learn not to be loud in public and learn not to brag. To, you know, to talk about yourself too much. And then somebody I spoke to that said, well, you know, it is seen, Swedish people are seem to be very modest. But then if you take, for example, people like Zlatan, who is very not modest and is very loud in public and talks about himself very much, and in fact one of the most famous Swedes in the world right now.
And extremely successful.
Yeah, so there are cultural perceptions and then there are realities. And it's not to say that if you come to a country, then you need to try to fit yourself into the reality that you think might exist, because chances are it's much more complicated.
Maybe you could compare it a little bit to learning a language. You can't really play around with varieties of the language until you properly understood the general, like, grammatical rules and systems. When you kind of understood a culture, a general culture, then it's easier to also play around with what you're allowed to do and what you can't do. And then there's always room for creativity and new ideas and new ways of acting and thinking.
I'm still learning Swedish, and now at home we speak a mixture of English and Swedish, and it tends to become this...
English.
It becomes this form of the language that makes sense.
You've already given a few pieces of advice. Can you think of any other specific advice for someone who wants to move to Sweden?
I think my biggest advice around the language is, of course, learn if you can find a way and the time, either before you move or when you arrive. But also with that, to, as you say, play a lot with the language. Beginning, one mistake I made was being so afraid of making mistakes.
I think that's very common.
And I think, particularly as a native English speaker, when people hear my accent, people naturally can quite switch to speaking English. So one of my pieces of advice is just to be stubborn about speaking Swedish, however bad you think it is, however much more difficult it is. I think in the long run, it helps a lot. And I think my other piece of advice is that if you're moving to Sweden, is to kind of build your own picture of the country through speaking to people. I think Sweden is portrayed internationally as both heaven and hell. Sweden is portrayed in more extreme ways than the country actually is. Sweden is not an extreme country in any sense of the word. But things are kind of done slowly with moderation and a bit of a cool head. And I think if the quicker you kind of can build that form of picture for yourself and push away these more extreme pictures of Sweden that are often painted outside Sweden, I think that helps a lot.
So you speak a little Swedish. Do you know the word smultronställe?
Yes.
Perfect. Can you explain it?
I understand that it's kind of a secret place, a special place, something that holds a place in your heart.
Do you have a place like this in Sweden?
There is a certain spot standing next to the wild bears in Skansen in Stockholm. Ever since my daughter was born, we have bought a yearly pass to visit Skansen because it's a great place to spend with children and also a great place to learn a lot about Swedish history. And if you're in the park first, then you can rush across the park and be with the wild bears long, long before any of the tourists make it to that area. So our special place is with my daughter and a little early morning snack, having quite a quiet, peaceful time just watching the bears.
Do you have a favorite Swedish word?
I quite enjoy Swedish words that are borrowed and changed from English. I see a word and think, what is that? And then I say it out loud and I realize that it's a Swedish spelling of a word that has been taken from English. And actually, I quite enjoy the opposite, the kind of false friends that exist between Swedish and English.
Yeah.
I seem to remember a conversation with my wife at about 10 o'clock in the morning where I told her I was very full, not really realizing at the time that in Swedish I was saying I was very drunk.
And that's actually perfect, because my next question was, do you have a favorite Swedish food?
I really like the Swedish take on tacos. It seems strange to say that.
It's a big thing here, Swedish tacos.
We eat something fresh and communal and easy and comforting together on a Friday night. And I think it's like it's the ritual of the food rather than the taste. I think it can be said about a lot of Swedish tradition is sometimes it's not really important why you do something, but the how you do it is very important.
We have a playlist on Spotify called the Moving to Sweden playlist, and we add Swedish music to it every week. So I wanted to know if you have like a favorite Swedish song. It doesn't have to be in Swedish, but from a Swedish artist or band.
I particularly like listening to Timbuktu.
Yeah.
Who's the rapper from Malmö.
Yeah.
Mostly because I find it's interesting to listen to read the lyrics because it is so fast and it is so complicated. And then trying to keep up with reading and understanding what's being said is almost like a challenge. But I also really love the accent and the dialect from Skåne.
Timbuktu, do you have like a specific song that you like more?
Is it the Botten is Nord?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
And you're getting a little Swenglish in there as well.
Because
the
I think...
So Thomas, that was my last question. Do you have anything you would like to add?
For anybody that might be interested in following or recreating some of my Becoming Swedish experiences, that my book Fear and Folkov is available in English and Swedish from all the normal places that you would buy books.
Great. So that could be a challenge to read the book in English first, and then once you've learned a little Swedish, try it in Swedish too. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.